Merry Christmas. Try one more time. Merry Christmas. There's a cheery bunch. That's a little bit better. Well, we've had an awesome time this season going through the different aspects of Advent. We've had messages on hope, messages on joy, messages on peace. And these are all gifts that Jesus brings to our lives. And today we finish or arrive at love, the greatest gift of all. Now, love isn't just a theme of Christmas. It's the heartbeat of the entire gospel. And it's not just some abstract, unreachable goal. It's personal. It's for you, it's for me, and it's from someone. The God who created all things stepped into our world, and not as a distant observer, but as Emmanuel, God with us. Now, normally when we read scripture that relates to Christmas and everything like that, we don't start with the Gospel of John. It's not one that we find a nativity scene in, kind of like the video we just saw there. Yet it does offer us a perspective for needing Emmanuel, God with us. We read this in John 1:1-10. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him. And yet the world did not recognize him." That is the Christmas story. Told very differently in a very different perspective. But Christmas is the true story against a backdrop of darkness. Loving God calms the encroaching shadow fear casts on the human soul. A dark and barren womb is opened by a miraculous conception. Nighted landscapes are suddenly aglow with angelic singing of God's glory. Pitch black skies frame the backdrop for stargazing kings from the east. A closed inn leads to a prophetic darkened stable. King Herod brought crushing death to families and to the nation. Light in the dark is the precise descriptions God uses to describe Jesus. Today, it's more of Think of it as more of a heart cry than a sermon message. Because I'm asking God to do something that no amount of words can actually do. Because I cannot convince you how much God loves you. But I can prayerfully remind you that not fearing any present darkness and embracing its presence, while very real, is only ever a backdrop to the story of King Jesus. The darkness you may face in your life is not something that we look at and go like, I don't know what to do. Because that's the backdrop of Jesus, the light of the world coming and giving us his love, giving us his light. Now, growing up, did you ever receive a favorite toy, a favorite gift? Why don't you tell the person right beside you right now? We're going to interrupt everything. We'll create a little chaos. Tell the person beside you, as growing up as a kid, what was the favorite toy or gift you ever received? Yeah, that's it. You may have to think about it. Maybe a couple of years ago. a little jaunt down memory lane. Little jaunt. Now, if you're so old that you didn't receive toys at Christmas, you just received like, you know, tools, things to work on the farm or the homestead, I'm sorry. All us young kids, you know, were spoiled rotten. We had got toys and we had time to play. We didn't have to work all day and all night and, you know, light the house by candle or anything like that. Make our dolls out of straw or anything like that. None of that stuff. Plastic changed our lives with all the toys we can make from it. For me, mine was, this was my favorite toy growing up. Okay, favorite gift I received at Christmas. And my dad's here. He gave it to me, so it's his fault. But it was this. It was anything G.I. Joe related. That's right. He was a real American hero, right? And when receiving on Christmas, I got a G.I. Joe base, their home base, right? In all its glory. And here's the thing is, it was a used base. It wasn't a brand new toy. This is before Facebook Marketplace and everything like that, but it was a used G.I. Joe base that they had got me. Now, don't miss this. It wasn't the cost or the newness of the base or the oldness of the base that would give it its value. It was the love that I had for it, which made it priceless to me. As we grow, we tend to get this mixed up. The more something costs, the more valuable we think it is. But that just simply isn't true. Life can be troublesome. Darkness opposes light at every turn. In us is a war between flesh and spirit. And we can be used by light to heal or by darkness to harm one another. When we think of it this way, God gave us his law, but what do? We still choose rebellion. God gave us prophets to speak to us of the ways of God, but we silenced their voices. God gave us priests to intermediate, but they too didn't fully reflect God. God gave us kings who in some cases ruled well, others poorly, but none could reconcile what we willingly gave to darkness in Genesis 3. So for various reasons, Christmas can be a profoundly difficult time for some. Sometimes it's due to our own decisions. Sometimes to others' decisions or unfair life circumstances. And if this is a tough season for you, may you take comfort in this unchanging reality. Christmas is a true story cast against the background of darkness, which means very real darkness is not the central character. Jesus is, at Christmas, the overwhelming main character. He's the story that we center all things around. And there's a reason, a motive for light coming to our dark worlds, our dark stories and souls. When we read in John 3:15-16, or parts of it, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. See, love doesn't desire to only be in the world, but to be in your world. God's love for you is what gives your life, regardless of the season, its ultimate value. Love is our reason for Christmas, but not love as we often think of it, fleeting and fragile or dependent on circumstances. That may be what your Christmas day looks like. It's fleeting. When the gifts open, it's, oh, that's so great. This is so awesome. I love you so much, especially if you have kids, right? They're like, oh, Mom, Dad, thank you so much for the gift that I wanted. It's so amazing. Or Santa, if Santa brings your kids gifts. And then the rest of the day can be filled with chaos as oversugared kids run around and create chaos. And that loving moment that was there while everybody was gathered together is quickly lost in the chaos of the rest of the day. We know how fleeting love can feel in moments, but that's not the type of love that we're talking about. This love is what the Bible calls agape love, unconditional, relentless, and self-giving love. C.S. Lewis in The Four Loves, he describes agape love as this, as wholly disinterested and desires what is simply best for the beloved. Always looking for the best of the beloved. Do you know who that is? That's you. You are God's beloved. And that's exactly what we see in Jesus. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you truly let yourself be loved by God? Not just to agree to the idea of his love, but actually received it. For some of us, that's a harder question to answer. Life can make us feel unlovable. Maybe this year brought you lots of pain or failure, and the idea of being fully loved feels far away. But here's the good news of Christmas. God's love doesn't depend on you. It's not about how good you've been, how much you've achieved, or how well you've managed to get it together or hold it together. God's love is because of who he is. We read in 1 John 4, it says this, we love because he loved first, or he first loved us. Think about that. God's love came first. Before you ever reached for him, he reached for you. And to embrace the truth of Christmas, we need a childlike faith. We need a childlike faith to trust that God's love gives each life on earth its ultimate value. And as we think about this gift of love, let's remember that love must be received to be fully experienced. Imagine receiving a beautifully wrapped gift, maybe that favorite toy or that favorite gift that you talked about a minute ago. You received that gift, but you never opened it. It would just sit there, untouched, unused, unappreciated. Think of God's love in the same way. He has given it freely, but it's up to us to open up to it and accept it. In Matthew, wisdom sees not only darkness, but a shining light leading them to the light that shone brightest in the darkness. In the Gospel of Luke, darkened landscapes, they become illuminated by God's glory leading them to a light that defeated darkness. As we read these accounts, again and again, we've read them throughout this Christmas season, and we keep poring over them to experience all that they have to offer us. There's a reason. Whatever your views are on Christmas and how much we should celebrate it or not celebrate it or whatever, we have verse after verse, chapter after chapter, in a prophetic voice speaking to this moment all throughout the Old Testament, speaking to this one moment that God would become man. There's reasons to celebrate that God became man and was with us. So we read this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw its star at its rising and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And so he assembled all the chief priests and scribes. Before I go forward, do you notice what it said there? It wasn't just Herod that was deeply disturbed by this new king that was born. all of Jerusalem was caught up in the system of the day. All of Jerusalem thought the way things were the way they should be. They were all deeply disturbed that there could be, maybe there should be, there ought to be a better way, that Christ was that better way. Let's continue. I'll go back. So he assembled all the chiefs and the priests and the scribes and of the people, and he asked them where the Messiah would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this was what was written in the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and here it was, the star that they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling on their knees, they worshipped him. Then they came and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We also can read of the shepherds in Luke, where it says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in their fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Those are two very different groups. One wealthy and wise, the other humble and lowly. But both are overwhelmed by the same reality. Love came down at Christmas. What do we do with that? Well, Richard Rohr writes it this way. He says, love is not what you do, it's how you participate with what already is. God has been planning this from the moment we fell. He knew what was going to happen and knew what salvation could look like and would look like. And we have the choice and the chance to participate with what his love has already started for us. Remember, his love always comes first. And we have the chance and the choice to participate in his love. The disciple John would describe a darkness only you hold the power to let love eradicate. Again, like we said earlier, he was in the world and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. And if we continued on from what we read earlier, he came to his own and his people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will or of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's remember the invitation to reflect on this love. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, we are all called to share his love with others. We are called to reflect his light when we love our families, love our neighbors, and love strangers. The light of Christmas shines brightest when we let love be our response. Let love lead our response. Like the wise men, what treasures will you lay at his feet? Like the shepherds, how will you share the good news? The greatest Christmas gift is not what's under the tree this Christmas. It's that love hung on a tree to get back what we gave to darkness from eating from a tree. This Christmas, may you deeply know, truly and personally, that you are loved by the God who moved heaven and earth to be with you. And as we reflect on the incredible love that God, through his Son, has given us, I want to share a simple yet powerful challenge for you today. Today, as you leave, or as you came in, you received a little card. All right? Nothing flashy. It's just a blue card. It's not even Christmas colors or anything like that. You received a card with just these words on the one side. Just a little something extra to show how much God loves you. And on the other side, and so do we. This card, it's more than just a gesture, it's an opportunity. Think of it as a reminder to you, but a tool for love in action. So what if in this next season, we each found creative and thoughtful ways to share this card with someone else? Maybe it's a stranger, a friend, a coworker, or even someone in your family. You could hand this to the barista as you pay for the order of the person behind you. Leave it with a generous tip for a server. Drop it off with a plate of cookies for a neighbor. Or simply just give it to someone who seems like they could use a reminder that they are seen, valued, and loved. This is what Christmas is all about. Not cards, but the love behind them. Showing others love. The love that God, in a practical, tangible way, made himself known to you. That we can be a part of that. Just like the shepherds. These small actions, they may seem ordinary, but in the end, they are the hands and feet of our extraordinary God. They can plant seeds of hope, healing, and transformation. This simple card is a way to let someone know that God's love is real, it's personal, and it's present in their lives, and that they have a church family that's ready to walk alongside of them. So here's your challenge. Take the card that you've received, pray about how you might use it, to reflect God's love to someone this Christmas season. Don't overthink it. Just let the Holy Spirit guide you. Whether it's a big gesture or a small one, your act of love could make an eternal difference. We'll keep cards like this at our guest services table over in the corner there for you to get more and restock as you continue to do acts of kindness like this, acts of love. So let's go out and share the love of Christ this Christmas. One card, one act of love at a time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the boundless love that you've shown us through Jesus. And today, as we take these cards, we ask for your guidance. Open our eyes to see the people around us who need a reminder of your love or need to hear it maybe for the first time that you love them. Give us courage, give us creativity and kindness as we share the simple reminder of your grace. Let our actions be pointed back to you, the true reason for our Christmas season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.